with all that I am that there's power in prayer. In fact, I know it. And one of the things that Jesus taught us to pray for was forgiveness, God's forgiveness, and our unforgiveness. That's powerful stuff. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and it's great to be back with you again. Today we're going to be taking another look at prayer, your prayer, from a different perspective. And do stick with me, because very soon I'll be telling you about my latest life application booklet. It's called Love Is, and I'd love to send you a free copy to help you experience God's love and share God's love. This week on the program, we're looking at the power of prayer. Not some vague, hopeful notion, but approaching God and experiencing His power as we pray. And I don't know a better place to do that than by unpacking the Lord's Prayer, that place where Jesus teaches us to pray. One of the key elements of praying, according to Jesus, is forgiveness. But forgiveness is a double-edged sword. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's like a double-sided entry in the ledger. It turns out that God places an incredibly high premium on forgiveness. And when we wrap our hearts and our minds around that, we discover the incredible power there is in praying this prayer of forgiveness. Now, I don't know what prayer means to you. Some people, for them, prayer is something that only happens in panic or when there's nowhere else to go, like a place of last resort. For me, prayer is part of a dynamic relationship with God, this outrageous place where I can be with Him to communicate honestly and openly and intimately with my God. And we can only do that because Jesus opened the door. Somehow these days we're conditioned to say, well, you know, I am who I am and that's it. If God wants me, He takes me how I am. And in a sense, He does. But there's a simple truth that says this. God is a perfect and holy God. And we all fall short of that. There's this huge chasm. Our sin, our rejection of Him, our rebellion has opened a chasm between Him and us so wide. We can't cross it. Not on our own. But Jesus is our crossing place. What Jesus did for us on the cross is He paid the price for all our falling short. And we can only approach God in prayer when we put our faith in that crossing of Christ. That's why people pray in Jesus' name. I can't come before God. You can't come before God in our own strength. Only through Jesus. Only when we put our faith in the fact that He paid the price for our falling short on that cross. Then we can come boldly before the throne of grace. A lot of people never, ever accept that. I can't change that, but that's God's view. It's as plain as day. We have access to God only through our faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. Full stop, end of story. Paul the Apostle writes, because we have been justified through faith, that means because we have been given right standing with God through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. This forgiveness thing is about God coming to us and saying, I have made provision for all your mistakes, for all the things you've done wrong, for all your rebellion in Jesus. There's a beautiful picture of that Jesus shares with us. It's a parable, the parable of the prodigal son. You know, the son who says to his father, I want all my inheritance, I'm going off, and he squanders it, and he drinks it all, and spends it on prostitutes, and then when he's hungry and he's destitute, and he finally wakes up to his senses, he comes back, and his father takes him back. That's what we have through what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's the picture of forgiveness and grace. That's what was purchased for us through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And truly I tell you this, unless we believe that, unless we put our faith in Jesus and what He did for us on that cross, there is no power in prayer. The Lord's Prayer is beautiful and simple. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's about worship. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is here in heaven. That's about surrender. Give us this day our daily bread, that beautiful place of bringing our needs before God, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Let's look at the first part of that sentence. Forgive us our trespasses. The biggest step that an alcoholic takes is the first step, admitting that he or she is an alcoholic. The biggest step that a sinner makes is admitting, I am a sinner. Is admitting, you know, my life has missed the mark, which is what sin means, missed the point. And to go and ask for forgiveness. I think it's something we don't do enough. And if we come before God and say, well, you know something, God, I know your word says this, and I know you want me to live that, but hey, this is the way I am. I'm going to live my life. Don't expect power in prayer. Don't expect God to come and do all these things for us because we want him to, and so that we can head off and just go and live our own lives. Look at how Jesus taught us to pray. Lay your life down. Honor God, worship God, invite his reign and his rule and his kingship into your life. And then when we've surrendered to God, then when we've submitted our whole lives to God, sure, come and ask him for help. Come and ask him to meet this need and that need, and come and ask him for forgiveness. Now, the moment we go to God for forgiveness, we are laying our life down because we're acknowledging we need forgiveness. It's like the alcoholic saying, I am an alcoholic. And I don't think we do that enough. Now, some people see forgiveness as a religious guilt trip, but that's not how God sees it. God made painful provision through the cross of Christ so that we could be forgiven. We don't have to work our way back into favor with God. We don't have to go to jail or do community service. We just have to believe in Jesus to be set free from our guilt and forgiven. Lord, forgive me. I blew this or that today. I just know I got it wrong. See the power in that. See how God sets us free when he says, I forgive you through Jesus. And when we admit that, we experience God's forgiveness and we're free. We have a clean slate. What we do from now on, we'll look at tomorrow on the program. But right now, when we admit it, when we're honest with ourselves and God, we have a free, clean slate. But we can't be free if we're still carrying around unforgiveness in our heart. Jesus tells a parable of a master and a servant. The servant owes the master a lot of money and he can't pay it, and the master forgives the debt. Yet this same servant is owed a much smaller amount of money by one of his peers, and he insists on it being paid and won't forgive the debt. And his master finds out and has this first servant punished. That's how God sees forgiveness. When we don't forgive other people means that we're not letting go of our right of restitution, of punishment. Somehow this person still owes me. I have a right to punish them. To give them a cold shoulder, to ignore them, to be horrible to them. You can't have peace in that place. No rest, there's no joy. Unforgiveness is like a cancer, and God knows that. That's why he wants to set us free, not only from the debt that we owe him, his forgiveness, but the debts others owe us, our unforgiveness. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In fact, he goes on to say, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, your Father will not forgive you. Jesus said that. There's power in forgiveness. There's power in this double-sided transaction, admitting our failures and asking for his forgiveness. And then, as hard as it might be, letting go of our unforgiveness so we can truly be free. That is so powerful. He means to set us free. Love, they say, is what makes the world go round. Well, fair enough. But sometimes we don't feel loved, and sometimes we struggle to share love with those around us. It's not easy. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of my latest booklet, Love Is. And with the life application questions at the end of each chapter, you'll be able to chew things over, to really apply God's word right into the realities of your life. Because God's word, man, it is alive and active. Amen? So I'm praying that through this simple booklet, he'll help you experience his love and share his love. You can request your free copy right now at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. The web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Hey, thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow. a different perspective.